One, two, three, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck, get fresh. Rock it to the beat, cause we are the best. We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie. Hey. Rock it to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with your horns and make that money. Greta, I can get busy.
Can I kick it? You know that I can do it with the mic on my hand.
Yeah.
You remember that? Oh, I want you. Yo, that is that. Tick tock, tock, and tick tock, and do the die. No matter what I say, it always come on fire. The ladies in here feel like fruit in a cup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Yo, let me stretch my fella, my man. Yeah.
Thank you. Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio. And if that didn't put a smile on your face listening to the remix of Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie, let me clear my throat. Music is like poetry and has a message. And history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain, our musical curtain, to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Good morning again. Student host Walter Pierce presents his Diamond of the Week on the songstress Billie Holiday. And for his definition of the week, he defines the word discrimination. His final segment will be Curtains, and he'll feature Biz Markie, Marcel Theo Hall, the rapper. And we say to him and his family, rest in peace. Without any further ado, I present to you our student host, Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. Now it is time to get into my first segment of today, which is Diamond. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond for today is Billie Holiday. And see, Billie Holiday, or Eleonora Holiday, Eleonora Harris, was the daughter of Clarence Holiday, a professional musician who for a time played guitar with Fletcher Henderson's band. She and her mother used her maternal grandfather's surname, Fagan, for a time. Then, in 1920, her mother married the surname Galt. Both she and Eleonora adopted his name. It's probably that in neither case did the mother have Eleonora's name legally changed. The singer later adopted her natural father's last name and took the name Billie from the favorite movie actress, Billie Dove. In 1928, she moved with her mother from Baltimore, Maryland to New York City. And after 3 years of subsiding by various means, she found a job singing in a Harlem nightclub. She had no formal music training, but with an instinctive sense of musical structure, with a wealth of experience gathered at the root level of jazz and blues, she developed a singing style that was deeply moving and individual. In 1933, Holiday made her first recordings with Benny Goodman and others. 2 years later, a series of recordings with Teddy Wilson and members of Count Basie's band brought her wider recognition and launched her career as the leading jazz singer of her time. She toured with Basie and with Artie Shaw in 1937 and 1938, in the latter year, opened at the Plush Cafe Society in New York City. About 1940, she began to perform exclusively at concerts, and her recordings between 1936 and 1942 marked her peak years. During the period, she was often associated with saxophonist Lester Young, who gave her the nickname Lady Bet. Holiday's dramatic intensity rendered the most banal lyric profound. Among the songs identified with her, Strange Fruit, Fine and Mellow, The Man I Love, Billy Blues, God Bless the Child, and I Wished on the Moon. The vintage years of Holiday's professional and private career with Young were marked by some of the best recordings, the interplay between a vocal line and the instrumental music. In 1956, she wrote the autobiography, Lady Sings the Blues, with William Duffy, that was made into a motion picture starring Diane Ross in 1972. And Holiday, sadly, would end up passing away in 1959. And that concludes my segment on Billie Holiday. Again, I thank you for listening to my segment on her. You know, it was sad that her life was cut short due to a lot of, you know, struggles that she had in her life. But still, she was able to produce great music while she was still with us. So again, thank you for listening.
Okay, we're going to have some comments from our panel commentary right after this particular song. Turn down the music, I'd like to bring on Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Good morning.
And you have any insight on Lady Day, Miss songstress Billie Holiday?
Yeah, actually, yeah. A lot of the stuff as far as her music, you know, she was very prolific in that area. But she also was the target of a lot of FBI investigations because of her rendition of song Strange Fruit. And it had like a double-edged sword. They didn't want to have Strange Fruit being sung because it was a song about lynching. You know, and right after Prohibition was repealed, the people in the FBI really didn't have a lot of, you know, they had a lot of drug agents that needed something to do. So there was this one guy, I believe his name was Anslinger or whatever, picked Billie Holiday as his source of his vitriol and had dogged her for the last couple years of her life. you know, and it was important the way they went about it and how things are really being done. This was also under the auspices of J. Edgar Hoover, who we all know was a very good American. But she led a lot of stuff, tragic life, truly, like Walter was saying. But there's a lot of things that she had her hand in that, you know, reflects the kind of treatment and stuff that people are getting used to it today. This whole war on drugs is actually a war on individuals.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your insight. And we'll get more of that from you as we continue. Tanisha, you're on, and good morning to you. Any insight on Billie Holiday?
Good morning, everyone. I guess the same thing that Mr. Shelton said about Strange Fruit. That's the only thing I really remember of her, because she was way past my generation. But just the simple fact that she had the galls to even write that song is very powerful. And how much America and the government still hates us is something to really think about. And we should definitely fight for our reparations. And it makes us think about the music for our generation. What messages are they putting out? Or are they teaching, you know, our generation to be powerful and to be better than what we need to be? And that's something to really think about, how powerful music is and how it can really, truly make things and bring things to light.
Okay, thank you so much. I'd like to bring on our Black librarian, Mr. Tamir Davis. Mr. Davis, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Insight on Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday, I have to concur with Dr. Harris. But I like to explain the intensity, some of the intensities of an ongoing investigation and how, you know, when you're going through stuff like that, like if you look in terms of the historical aspect of when the federal bureau investigation was started, prior to that, the Bureau of Investigation, far back as 1919, and this ongoing cultural onslaught that was actually used to attack Black men, Black women, and also people of different ethnicities has been ongoing. It's over a century where we had to go through this ongoing cultural, intellectual fight for quite some time. If you look at in the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s, the way in which the Black Panther was dismantled, the way in which the other progressive movements was actually dismantled, it's saddening. It's disheartening. Not only did they actually dismantle the organization, some of the people became drugged out because of it. Some of the people actually suffered and maybe faced 40 to 50 years in prison. If you look into the Afeni Shakur situation, Tupac's mother, what she had went through in terms of trials and so on and so forth, stuff like that, it's heartening and saddening. And when we begin to look at music, music is a very essential part of the culture. Music is the heartbeat of a culture. It gives the culture its rhythm. It gives it's like a compass. It tells the culture where it needs to go. You know, part of the African traditions, when it came to music would assemble people, brought them around, got them. And it wasn't about money. It was about make sure that we maintain culture. And this particular country, music has been exploited. I'm quite sure Billie Holiday went through undue, unconditional pressure from the record companies during that particular time, being a prominent artist. I'm quite sure, based on what Dr. Harris had actually alluded to or actually explained, she went through even more pressure being pointed out due to the song Strange Fruit. That would actually drive anybody crazy because the investigations are intense, ongoing, questions, so on and so forth. Who do you know? The attack was on Black men and Black women, which was such a shame. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your input. I'd like to continue on and hand it back over to Mr. Walter Pierce. And quickly, Walter, the insight that the panel and their commentary, what do you think about it?
I think it was very informative, especially, you know, with the Black Librarian coming in and, you know, expanding on, you know, music, especially African, the history of African music. And I believe, you know, it's always a good connection, and we should always, you know, bring awareness to that so that people could understand and respect where, you know, where our music came from and to give it the credit it deserves. And just besides that, I would like to get into my second segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today, discrimination. And, you know, discrimination is the unjust prejudice treatment of a different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race, age, or sex. And, you know, we talk a lot about racism and against, you know, African Americans especially, and other races, I believe, as well, you know, go through a lot of discrimination and racism. And, you see, the root of really these ideas of racism really starts from the household, because as we all know and we can all agree that nobody's born racist or nobody's born to want to discriminate against another person. And see, the reason that is because of the community and the people that are around that person who put those ideas in their heads. And once they start growing up, you know, that starts to become, you know, the core things they live by. And sadly, that's why we have a lot of people who are very racist and discriminatory against other people. And, you know, we tend to blame those people a lot, but I believe we should start blaming really the community they came from, holding them more accountable, holding the community more accountable to something like that. And, you know, I just really, really just want to ask everybody on this panel, especially this question, about, you know, ways we could probably fix this, or is it even something we could fix? Somebody who grows up with, you know, racist or discriminatory ideas, is there any way we could probably, you know, remove those ideas? Do you think anybody could actually change from those ideas they grew up with?
Okay. Panelists, you've heard the question from Walter. I'm going to go to Tanisha Gardner first. Do you think there's a way to eradicate discrimination from a family point of view or community?
It's yes and no. At the end of the day, you still have to remember the laws of the universe. It's always going to be negative and it's always going to be positive. So, no, it would never be. But I guess it's the majority. It depends on the person, because you're not going to like everybody, you know. And I guess at the end of the day, you might not like a person, but you have to respect the person. And I think that's where it comes down to, you know. And it's like you're supposed to teach your children to respect people. You might not understand where they come from, but you don't have a right to disrespect them. And if more people, if they teach their children about morals and respect, then things, I believe it would change. But at the end of the day, you're not going to like everybody. But that doesn't give you the right to disrespect them.
Okay, and that's a very valid and most important point. We're going to go swing over to the Black Librarian and get his input on the question.
Very important question. But when the question was actually asked, it led me to think about the film entitled American History X, which is a film that was actually put out as far back as 1998. It was actually directed by Tony Kaye and starred Ed Norton. So in this particular movie, Ed Norton plays a skinhead, the leader of the skinhead group, who actually a neo-Nazi group that actually discriminated against blacks and what have you. He eventually goes to prison for voluntary manslaughter, and in prison, he befriended an African-American male. And it kind of changed his whole depiction, because in the movie, one of the scenes in the movie, the father had made a statement telling the child that they're different from us in such a way that you can't trust them, or you can't believe in them, so on and so forth. But it wasn't until he had went to prison and went through all of hardship, and some of the people, the neo-Nazis that he was a part of in the particular film, turned on him, and the brother was there for him. So I think circumstances define the individual, and I think racism, as May mentioned earlier, is a phenomenon that's actually put it into a person. I don't think a child is actually born racist. That's something that's actually part of their development through what they see, what they learn, and what they hear. Do I think that it can be curtailed? I think people are going to always have discriminatory differences. In fact, I talked to Mr. Bay a bit earlier. He said that now is a situation to where we're vaccinated and these other people are unvaccinated, you know? So, but it's important to always check yourself and look and examine and say, is this right? Some people don't have a filter to say, well, I can't do this. So that's the problem when we don't begin to check ourselves and examine and say, well, everybody was supposed to be the 14th Amendment, equal protection of the law. Is it true in this particular country? Thank you.
Okay. He answered, Walter, he answered that and raised another question. But we want to bring in Mr. Shelton Harris.
Wow, I was just listening to the previous two speakers and stuff, and first let me say I agree with everything that y'all said so far. But when it comes to discrimination, you know, it's being so reinforced within the society, whether individual has to go through their own little epiphany to try to figure out what's going on. But, you know, even as far back as Sesame Street, they taught discrimination. Which one of these is not like the other? You know, which one of these is not the same? You know, we were preparing kids to discriminate against whatever the situation was as a child, getting that framework together in their head. You know, and there's a lot of things that we do that we really need to look at as a society. And like the Panther said, the only way to win against an oppressor is through is through unity. And unity starts at home. If you have a strong foundation at home, the rest of the stuff can be dealt with in an easier basis than what we're trying to do today. So is it going to change? I don't see it in the foreseeable future. Does it have to change? Most definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And before I go to the next song, I'd like to bring in Mr. Walter Pierce, our student host, and see has that answered your question.
Yeah. You know, I actually want to go back to what the Black librarian, Mr. Samir Davis, said, because the American History X, that's actually a really, really good movie that, you know, I've seen in class. And it was just very powerful of how everything just evolved over the movie and, you know, the ending of how, you know, he was able to come to the realization that, you know, this person's actually not that bad, or these people are not actually these people are not bad people that he thinks they are. And, you know, that's really all I have to say for that one.
Okay. All right. So when we return, Walter will be presenting his next segment of Curtains. So don't you go anywhere. keep it locked. You're tuned to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artist? Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history and the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitude of their listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time, CD releases, streaming, which is what we're doing today, and back in my day it was all vinyl. Well, anyway, Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and today his genius and his involvement in influencing all people. Style, creativity in the world today. Walter, take it away.
Thank you. And now my curtain segment for today is Biz Markie. And see, you know, just Biz Markie, he was an artist, and, you know, he made songs called I Need a Haircut, which was already shaping up to be have numerous sales. And, you know, he also came his prominence was in the early 80s when he began rapping at Manhattan's nightclub, like the Funhouse and the Roxy. Biz met with producer Marley Marl in 1985 and began working as a human beatbox for Marl's Connect acts, MC Shan, and later Roxanne. He began recording his first set of demos by 1988 and had signed with Cold Chillin'. Later that year, he released Going Off, which became a word-of-mouth hit based on the underground singles Vapors, Taking Burgers, and Making Music With Your Mouth, Biz. A year later, he broke into the mainstream, Just a Friend, a single featuring rap verses and out-of-tune sung choruses, reached the pop top 10, and its accompanying album, The Biz Never Sleeps, went gold. And then, you know, Biz Markie, he went through a period where, you know, he struggled a lot, did a lot of different things. But in 2003, he was able to come back and record The Weekend Warrior with Tommy Boy. And, you know, following The Weekend Warrior, himself relevant by appearing on a lot of different, you know, movies and TV shows, which included Men in Black, Blackish, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Yo Gabba Gabba. And, you know, Biz Markie, just in summary of this, you know, he might be a little bit before my time, but, you know, the TV shows he appeared in and stuff like that, I was actually watching. You know, stuff like I grew up with SpongeBob SquarePants, Yo Gabba Gabba, and, you know, appearances on Blackish as well, which I watched. You know, you was able to see him, and he was really just somebody who a lot of people really loved. You know, he made a lot of iconic music, a lot of iconic songs, and people really just go back to that and keep playing it even after many, many years. And, you know, sadly, he died July 16th, 2021, you know, at the age of 57. But still, even after his death, I believe, you know, his music would still be very prevalent and still would be played all across the country because his songs are really just that iconic. So, again, I thank you for listening to my segment on Biz Markie, and you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck and Fresh. Rocker to the beat, cause we are in the... We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie.
Hey.
Rocker to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with your horns and make that money. 1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck and Fresh. Rocker to the beat, cause we are in the... Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie,
hey.
Rockin' to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with your horns and make that money. Grab the mic and get busy.
Can I kick it?
Yes, yeah.
You know that I can do it with the mic on my hand.
Yeah.
You remember that? Oh, one, two, yo, that is that. Tick-tock, tock, and tick-tock, and do-da-da. No matter what I say, it always come on fire. The ladies in here, feel like fruit in a cup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Yo, that is that, my fella, my man.
Yo. Yeah.
but I got a chance to
let me clear my throat.
On the Black Librarian first, and I have to ask you, Tamir, could you see the Biz? Could you see him dancing at the end as Dougie Fresh is beatboxing? Talk to me, brother.
when I learned about Biz Markie and his passing, I just cried because Biz Markie was there. His music was there during a time where the young child goes through the identity versus identity crisis. I was able to get some direction. And I can look at life from a much more intense point of view. I can look at it from a humorous point of view and at the same time stay focused. Biz was like our hero, you know. And it's very important to say that because he wasn't talking about shooting, killing, robbing. He depicted the real aspects of life, of what was taking place for young adolescents and also people going into adulthood, and he made it fun, whether it be, you know, from one point of dealing with dating, getting a job. You know, he made mention of, I work for UPS. You know, because, you know, during that time, you know, this is during the crack explosion in the United States, you know, where crack was really big from the explosion of 1984. That crack bomb was really, really big. And he was giving out messages. And he didn't say, you know, don't do this, don't do that. He was saying that you still have options in this music. You don't have to go out there and sell crack cocaine or so on and so forth. From the comedy, from this, from that, we lost an icon in my mind. You know, my mother used to play Biz in the house. You know, she loved Biz. Everybody loved Biz because Biz was a damn good human being, based on his music and what was happening with Juice Crew and what was happening
all over. Everybody loved it, you know. And he touched so many people with his music, you know. Touched so many people in his music. He gave a lot of young teens direction. You don't have to go out there and sell crack cocaine. But he didn't say it to say don't do drugs. He would put it in his rap. Okay, you could do this or you could do that. And there's nothing wrong with working for UPS. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a job. You know, so I learned a hell of a lot from this. I'm continuing to learn from him, his image. He was able to, he's intergenerational as an artist because he was able to transition rap from 1988 to go on to PBS shows to do other things and still instill positive messages to young children. That's priceless. That's extremely priceless to transition from rap because a lot of people who was popular in rap in 88, they didn't actually transition into many other different areas. Biz was able to do that and still bring home a paycheck to feed him and his family, but at the same time, give positive messages to even younger children. And I think Brother Walter had alluded to that or said that in his understanding of Biz and what he had done for not just my generation, but for his generation as well. And he's just a phenomenal human being. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. I want to bring Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha, now I know for a fact that you're in the generation where you know who Biz Markie is. And so what do you have, you know, tell us to a tune of Biz Markie. No. Share with us your thoughts about the Biz.
Definitely, his music was very influential, especially, I guess, the topics that we were talking about now and how you just played the song kind of like, you know, ease us, you know, to another vibration. And that's what it's about. It's about balance and seeing, even though we might have challenges within our lives, how do we see the good in all things and make the good come out? And just a simple fact, I believe a couple of days ago, Guns N' Roses actually did a tribute to Biz Markie, and that speaks volume. That's definitely two different genres, rock music and hip-hop, and just a simple fact how powerful music is and how we interconnect with each other and how that bridges the gaps between two different ethnic groups or different, music lines, and to show you that is unity across the board and how can we truly create unity through music and through expression and being connected.
Okay. Thank you so much. We want to bring on Mr. Harris in just a sec, right? Good morning, Mr. Harris, once again. Different generation, music genre, hip-hop, rap, but wait a minute, it's the Biz. Talk to me.
Yeah, when you know, like everybody else was alluding to, he was a very transitional type person, you know, and with his humor, he depicted a lot of different cultural situations in a way that people understood it without feeling like somebody's trying to beat him over the head with it, you know, and he was a person that was in the actual hip-hop culture, you know, because what we look at as rap right now is not necessarily everything that has to do with hip-hop culture. You know, it's this most of the stuff we hear now was all corporate generated, and it really has nothing to do with the positive, you know, expression of music towards everybody else in the community. You know, because music is truly the only universal language. And Biz was able to speak to a lot of people in a lot of different ways. You know, it was a little later as far as hip-hop is concerned, as far as I'm concerned with the Biz, you know, but he was definitely an integral part in pushing this whole hip-hop culture forward. And, you know, and he related to the young and the old. And, you know, there's really not much that I can add to what was already been said, but He would truly be missed. Let me put it like that. He would truly be missed.
Okay. Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen,
boys and girls, but specifically you adults out there that are listening, I want you to look inside yourself
and find the child
for this next Aesop fable,
which we will try to listen to and examine and talk about,
but more importantly,
related to our lives.
And it doesn't matter how old you are, you're never too old to learn. This particular Aesop fable was titled The Fox and the Grapes. You probably heard it before. You see, one hot summer's day, a fox was strolling through an orchard until he came to a bunch of grapes just ripening on the vine, which had been there just trained over a lofty branch. And just the thing he thought to himself to quench his thirst. Oh, yeah, he thought. So drawing back a few paces, he took a run and a jump and just missed the branch. Turning around, with one, two, three, he jumped again, but with no greater success. Again and again he tried after the tempting morsel of grapes, but at last had to give up. He was unable to reach the grapes on the branch. So he walked away with his nose in the air, saying, "I'm sure they're sour grapes." Now, the moral of this particular story is, it's easy to despise what you cannot get. I want to bring in Mr. Harris right back. It's easy to despise what you can't get. How does that relate to mental health, and how does that relate to our general society today? If it does at all.
Yeah, you know, and that's all come down to expectations and, you know, realistic expectations. You know, sometimes, you know, it was a little thing that said to each his reach. And, you know, and if you can get what you can get, and then you have to understand that there might be some things that you might have to go about in a different way. But just because you can't get them when you want it doesn't mean that it's unattainable. And to just flip it around and says, well, they were probably sour grapes anyway. I think that was actually sour grapes from even saying that. But we have to start looking at things based on what our true expectations are and our true, you know, strengths. You know, sometimes some things seem unattainable because they are, you know, and it's okay. But we looked at everybody can be everything anytime. Realistically, that's not true. But so you know, we have to look at things different ways, and be happy with what you got.
Tanisha, what do you think about today's fable?
I don't know. I look at it as perception and what you perceive it to be, and his perception was the simple fact that he couldn't reach it, obtain it. He had to think negative about it, and not knowing that if he kept traveling, more than likely he would have had to see more grapes again. And it's about searching. It's about not giving up, and it's about consistency and not complaining. And I think that's what happens with us. We always complain instead of figuring out solutions, because what about if it was windy? Maybe the wind could have knocked it over, or the birds could have flew and hit it, and then it could have came down. So it's always many different possibilities that we have to remember.
Okay. Let's bring in our black librarian. What do you think about the fable?
I think the fable is an allegorical aspect that actually closely aligns to my life. Growing up in Newark, growing up in an urban community, I would actually sneak to the library, right? I would walk from Johnson Ave to perhaps Washington Street, because my grandmother put me on this trend. You know, it became part of a tradition. Every Saturday or every chance I got, even when I was going to Arts High School, I would walk to the library. And why you go to the library all the time? I was just so fascinated about the books.
And so I talked to a couple of people as a teenager, like, well, you know, I really want to be a librarian, but I don't know how. They said, you can't be a librarian. I said, why? You from this area, from the hood, but in addition to that, you got to get not only a bachelor's degree, you got to get your master's. I don't think you should do that. Maybe you want to try something else. Maybe it may be better for you to actually get into contract work or fix houses or do something like that, but that's not for you. And I said, you know what? I'm going to prove them wrong. Now, I didn't know about the SAT and all that other different type of stuff and going for the GRE. But I said, I don't know how I'm going to get it, but it's in my heart and it's for me, and that's what I'm going for. So I had to put all, and there was a lot of negative advice, you know, back and forth. That's not for you. And so my mother said, you know what? If you can do it, then you do it, and you put everything into it, and it'll happen. She says, I don't know how you're going to do it either, but I believe that it's in you to do it because you love doing it. So when I heard the negative advice, I turned it into a positive and said, this is what I'm doing. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. And so that is not an analogy of someone with a case of sour grapes. That is pretty much like Tanisha just said. You know, you turn the negative into a positive. You didn't turn it into sour grapes. But I'd like to say, if anyone that is listening to our program would like to give a testimonial to our programming and any panelists or questions or comments, you can call us at 973-692-6035. That's 973-692-6035. And also, I'd like to say, you know, as it relates to the fable and sour grapes, don't be a sour puss, right? We alluded and we talked about what Walter did, Lady Day, and we all know that she suffered from a drug problem. So if you're out there with depression or you're suffering from any type of drug problem, I'd like for you to call 1-800-662-4357. Now, that number is a national hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can get help, someone to at least talk to. That's 1-800-662-4357. And now, without any further ado, I'd like to sum up the show by saying, with our last 60 seconds, and starting with the Black Librarian, sum up the show with all transparency. Every week I usually call up everybody and ask them, how did we do? But we're going to do it now in front of you, the audience. Lady Day, the jazz vocalist, who was influenced by Louis Armstrong, and her song, Strange Fruit, which created so much controversy in a world that didn't see black, but just saw negativity, prejudice, unfairness, bias, and most importantly, our DJ, our musical feature, our curtain, Biz Markie. His real name was Marcel Theo Hall, who was a rapper, DJ, and record producer. Now, with 5 seconds or less, right, or actually three, right, the Black Librarian, talk to me about today's show. Did you like it? How did we hit the mark?
I love the show. We hit the mark, as always, and this is my therapy. Thank you very much.
Mr. Shelton Harris, how'd you like the show? Any further insight? Did we hit the mark?
Yo, right in the bullseye. Everything was wonderful, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, thank you. Tanisha Gardner, did we hit the mark?
Oh, yes, definitely. A lot of people learned a lot of stuff and just keep on learning and keep being better.
Okay. All right. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Quest Youth Radio is, everybody, help me out now. Walter's gone. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best.
All right.
Yes, it is.
One, two, three, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. One, two, three, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get fresh. One, two, three, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get fresh. Rock to the beat, cause we are the best. We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie.
Hey.
Rock to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit it with your horns and make that money.
Grandma, I can get busy.
Can I kick it? You know that I can do it with the mic in my hand. You remember that? Yo, that is that. Tick tock, tock, a dick, tock, a dick, a dick. No matter what I say, it always come on fire. The ladies in here feel like fruit in the cup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Yo, that is that, my fellow, my man.